Welcome to Extraordinary, your space for extraordinary conversations, thoughts, and possibilities. I am Fabian Wertwein, coach, mentor, and leader. And there's one thing that fascinates me deeply, something I observe over and over again. Often, it's a sentence, it's a realization, or a new thought that causes a shift in our consciousness. It's exactly this shift that enables us to see new possibilities for ourselves, make different decisions, and truly change our lives. That's why I'm excited to open up such a space for you with Extraordinary. It's great to have you here. And now, let's begin. Welcome to this episode, and I'm very excited that you're here, that you join us for this conversation. It's actually an interview or a deep talk with a good friend of mine. His name is Matthew Burke, or Matt, and we talk about a topic that is such an important one for both of us, and that is honesty. We both believe and know that honesty was the biggest game changer in our lives. It changed our relationships to ourselves, to our partners, to our friends, and to life in general. And it's such an important one to really know your honest truth and how you show up honest in your life, especially as men. And it's like a very deep topic we really love to talk about. And so we're happy that you join us. And so, yeah, I would say let's begin and have fun. So very welcome, everybody, to our first call. And I'm very excited for this one. Then there's no better person I would love to start with in this podcast than Matthew Burke, or Matt. We call him Matt. And so I'm very happy that you're here and that we have this nice conversation together to go really deep on this topic, because I know, yeah, we are both on the same page on that. And I'm very happy to go, yeah, to go with you, to speak with you, and to have you here. So thank you for that.
It's really, really lovely, honestly, to be here. It's beautiful. I'm so grateful that you invited me. Our friendship is really, really special. And it's brilliant that you said to me, you know, let's talk about honesty, because that's something that's very important to both of us. And it's always in our conversations. It never leaves. And it can be a little bit challenging sometimes in the moment, but it always ends up being something very beautiful out of it. Something grows lovely. So it's a privilege to talk to you, and it's going to be an incredibly insightful conversation, no doubt, for the both of us and for people that are listening.
Yeah, perfect. So I just remember when we met the first time in Berlin, it was last year, 2024, in the summer. And it was so cool to, I think that like honesty was there right from the beginning. I remember when we met the first time, I wrote you like, hey, you want to hang out, have some food before we start into the workshop? And you said like, yes, let's do it. And then I remember we went to a restaurant there and we started talking, and it was like, boom, like there was this direct connection and interaction. And there was so, I always feel like when I'm on the same page with somebody and we are like, we think the same way and we act the same way, it's like, it's easy. There's a lot of flow, and it's like a flower opening up just with ease. You don't have to do anything. It's just flowing. So, and I always look back to that time because I know it was like a very good, like perfect beginning for this journey, what we had together until now.
And I love what you just said there, and you spoke into, it's effortless. It opens like a flower. You know, you don't have to try too hard. You just let things organically happen. And that's what happened with us in our friendship. And it was honestly in the conversation. But let's take it back maybe an hour before we met. You know, I was in my room and this body was convincing me, you know, I was in a strange place. I've never been in this part of Germany. I was never going to do this training. The body was presenting me with fearful thoughts and no, stay at home and don't go out. You know, maybe this, it was all these kind of body mind things going on. And I'm like watching it going, No way. I'm not doing that. And then you text me, do you want to hang out? And the body was like, no, don't do that. You know, you don't know this man. You're like, all this kind of weird stuff would be go off in the body, all the history stuff. And within the first 10 seconds, myself and yourself, excuse me, we spoke about Dr. Joe Dispenza. We talked about the things that we loved and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow. Within a couple of minutes, I've already got so much in common with this human being, this man. And then it just organically grew from that. We sat down and we had the conversation in the, I think we went for Thai food. Was it Thai food that we went?
Yeah. Asian style, yeah.
And we had those weird spring rolls that taste like soap.
Yeah, for everybody who want to know what we're talking about, it's like cilantro. So it's like, and I remember you didn't even know what it was.
I thought it was an air freshener.
Yeah, for somebody tastes like soap, for somebody it's just delicious like me. But I heard there's like somebody has special enzymes when you like it or don't like it, so it's not a problem. It's not like
it was interesting, but the food was lovely. But that's what I do remember, those soapy tasting spring rolls.
Of course. But like you said, it's like when we are on the same level, we have the same attitude, you have the same belief systems, you share the same values, it's effortless. And I think, yeah, to be honest, in such situation is much more easier because you know that the people, like, I understand you understand me. And I think in those situations, it's like an effortless match. It just, we come together and it's clicking easy. And you can, I was in Asia traveling, and I remember I met a person, and it was not like us, but there was also like a good connection. We started talking, and after like maybe an hour, we shared stuff I haven't maybe shared with people I know for much longer. And after like one day talking and connecting with this person, I was realizing like I don't even know his name. Who is this? Yeah.
Wow.
But sometimes you connect with people, and there's like this connection, this bond, what makes it easy to, I would say, open up and to just share things, what is maybe vulnerable or what is maybe important for you, what maybe you're not sharing with all the other people.
Yeah. What I know is that, you know, communication is 87% nonverbal. So it's nonverbal. When you sit down with someone, how they speak, the tone, their cadence, the words they use, the choices, the body language, you know, it's very telling. So when I sit down with you, and when I sat down with you, it was very clear that you don't hide anything. You have nothing to hide. You're very clean and clear with your information. You're very honest. Your energy, your body language, it feels when I'm around you, it feels safe. There's a non-judgment. There's lots of invisible signs that I'm picking up on through your energy fields. You know, if I get out of my intellectual mind and I just feel in your presence, I get it. I connect you. The communication is very clear. So I feel safe around you. You know, there's a lot of trust. And when we feel like we can trust people and we feel safe around people, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to say those things. You won't feel judged. You won't feel like somebody's going to kick you out of tribe. You have said some stuff to me over the last number of weeks that you picked up on, and you delivered it in a very loving, soft, gentle, direct way. And because I feel safe with you, I was able to take that in, I was able to process, and I was able to lean in and make those changes that were needed. And that came from a place of safety, honesty, and what you're really good at and what I'm good at as well. That's why we connect, is this transparency, because our signal is really clean and clear. There's no agenda with you and I.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for that. And so I was just thinking about when you were talking about the beginning when we met in Berlin, and one thing I was so impressed, or I'm still I am is the way how you appreciate gifts or things, habits, attitudes from other people, and how you give love to other persons. I haven't seen that so many, like, especially for men. I would say women, yes, but especially men, I haven't seen that somebody is like, have such an open heart and share what maybe you love about other people, like about other people, and what you see. It's like, for me, like, you see so much value and valuable things in other people, and you are not afraid to share it in a such loving and an open way. And that's really, for me, it's really special. And I really want to know, like, how was it always like this, or is it like something you develop? I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But what is the point that you started to open up like this, to really say, like, to give such appreciation for other people?
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece that you just spoke into there. And it's yeah, you're spot on when you say it can be a little bit uncommon when it comes to men. You know, we probably don't have the emotional intelligence, we probably don't have the emotional expression as women, and it's probably not as common. I suppose from a very young age, I probably wouldn't have always been as open and honest about how I felt, you know, because I had a lot of fears, not I had a lot of anxieties, and as a man, it wouldn't have been seen as a cool thing to do over the years to talk about these things. I can even remember as a teenager, put my arm around one of my mates, and he would say, "Get your hand down. People think that we're in a relationship together." You know, he would say, "People might think that we're gay." You know, and all I was doing was putting my arm around. So the environment that I grew up in, the people that I surround myself in, the culture of my community, wouldn't have advocated for that kind of behavior as a man, and that's quite common around the my generation. But as I started to do this work, and I started to unearth all the blocks that were in me, the challenges that I grew up with, the drink, the drugs, the crime, all of that kind of things that were stopping and preventing me from being authentic about my feelings, I just realized then that, you know what, I value transparency, I value honesty, I value being clean and clear. So if I sit with you and I get a feeling inside of me that I really appreciate when you do something or I see something, I want to tell you, because it feels so good for me, and I know that it's going to feel so good for you. Like, if I see somebody walk into a room and they've got a cool jumper or cool bag, I will literally say, "Man or woman, I fucking love your bag. You look great." Like, I seen a guy walking down the street, I think 2 weeks ago, he looked like he trained, he was in great nick, and I was just looking at him going, "He looks brilliant." And I said, "Hey, man," I says, "you work out, you look incredible." And he said to me, "Thanks, mate. I really appreciate you saying that." And I felt fucking great. He felt great. And it was just this beautiful moment that I said the thing I wanted to say, and it felt good. You know, there was no agenda other than I wanted to express this love, appreciation for another man, because I know the value or the work that goes into having to train, having to eat certain nutrition, live the life. So it's like appreciating that man could do that. And I would do the same for women. So does it kind of a two-way thing? It was letting go of the old, that prison of not talking about how you feel, and men are not supposed to talk like this and act like this and behave like this. I'm like, "Oh, no way, man. I'm not having that." You know, that's prison for me. And that seems like it's prison for a lot of people when I look around my community growing up. I don't want to do that. I want to say the thing. I want to feel the thing, because it's good for me and it's good for the world. You know, it's helpful. That makes
beautiful
sense?
Totally. And I really, like, I think it's, like I said, it's not that common that people, even between women, sometimes they are, especially in our society in general, I would say, it's not so common that we appreciate other things from other people or give compliments to strangers, maybe to people on the street. And but especially as a man, I would say, it's like normally, like you have to be tough and you have to be confident and you have to be something like this, and you have to be defend your area, your tribe and stuff. Yeah. And so I would say it's like, especially there, it's not that common. And I really love that you act like this. And I saw it. I remember I can tell you this, and when we were in this workshop in Berlin, I mean, the whole week was crazy. I mean, there was a lot of emotions. It was intense. There was a lot of breakthroughs, transformations. But beside all of the learning, what we did, we did breath work and we learned a lot and all that stuff. But the like one moment I remember so clearly, and it was a build up over the whole week, and it was actually in the end. Maybe you remember that, and it was like I remember when we gave, like the teacher decided that each participant had to give somebody else at the certificate, and she decided who is giving who the certificate. So, and I was sitting there not thinking about something, like, and then I saw your name, and in this moment I remember, in this moment when I saw your name, my heart was I felt like I'm exploding, like my heart was bumping so strong, and I didn't even know why, like what is happening. And I know, like, there's this feeling. And then I remember when you sit, I was going on the stage and say, like, okay, Matt, come over. And I couldn't barely speak. Like rubbing my head, I'm holding back tears, and it was hard to breathe and all the stuff. And then I was stumbling some words, and it was crazy, and everybody was crying, like I was crying, you were standing there taking
I was crying, and
you were crying, like all the other women and men were crying, like it was a crazy experience. And I was really wondering why is that. I was sitting back then in the hotel room, and I was contemplating, like, what just happened? What was that? And then I realized that this kind of love, what you gave to all the people, but especially to me, like this kind of appreciation in this time frame and also on this level, I haven't had maybe in my life or maybe in such a long time ago. And I haven't met a person who is like this. And it was overwhelmingly, like, from love, and the beauty in this was so crazy. And I was like, this is a special man. There's like, this person is very unique. So, and so I want to thank you for that, because it was an experience I probably will never forget. And it was crazy how this showed me how man can lead in society. And there was, it's still touching for me right now when I'm speaking about it. It's like, it was really opening my heart on a different level. And I would say, like, this is your honest truth, how you see and people. I know it's no fancy, like, hey, I'm putting you on a pedestal or something. It's honest. It's like, it's coming from your soul. It's coming from your heart. It's no like show or blah, blah. So it's real. And that's what it makes it so impactful.
It was an incredible journey that we were on. You know, we were strangers allegedly, and then we come together, and that passing of the certs to each other, that happened by synchronicity. That was a serendipity. That wasn't planned. Lily didn't. She just pulled out me, you, and we got to do that together. And it was just wild, you know, that we got to do that. I loved it. I was thinking about it, you know, like, as much as I'm really loving towards people, and it's, I want to really express it, I noticed that with my mom over the years, that I found that a challenge, because we had this challenging environment. So this, my love and this my way of practice was born out of that, because me and my mom had difficulties over the years. And I only noticed last year that in the home that I would find expressing and receiving love differently, you know, it was a slight bit of a challenge. And like what we spoke about here, Fabian, I had to be really honest and go, hold on a minute, you're out in the world, you find it easier and find it easy to talk and express love. Okay, why is that? Why is that? Okay, it probably doesn't feel as threatening, and you're out there and it's a practice. I'm feeling it and I say it. I feel it and I say it. And then I'm, okay, right now, let's up the ante here. How would you be with your own ma? How would you be when she tells you the loving thing and you need to say, and I'm like, right, okay, let's do this. And I was over at ma's the other day, or last week, and she was saying, I'm giving up training in the gym. It's not for me anymore. She's 74, right? And my dad passed away a year ago. And I was like, and I've been helping her with the grief process of my dad. And I says, can I get into this with you? Do you want me to help you navigate through this? And she was like, yeah, of course. So I said a few things. She started to cry. I was like, right, my ma's crying. She needs some love. She needs some kindness. She needs some compassion. I close my mouth. I breathe through my nose. I grab my stool. I move over beside her. I hold her hand and I rub her arm and I say, I love you. You're safe, ma. And I swear to God, Fabian, the amount of love, peace, kindness that hoofed through my system was incredible. And I was like, wow, this is the love that people see. This is the love that I feel now. I'm now practicing it with my ma. I'm being honest. I'm being authentic. I'm not pulling away. I'm leaning in. And I was like, right, this is so valuable to me. This is the piece that I taught that was missing in my childhood, but it was never missing. It was never. Love was always there. I just probably didn't feel it. And this is what I've been doing in the world, practicing giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And now I'm creating this wholeness in my life with my ma. And it feels like now it's integral into all my practice. It's consistent. It was nearly like a jigsaw piece. But the expression that I was able to give to you and people in Germany in my life, it's valuable to me, because I probably felt like it wasn't there years ago, but it was always there. Just because I didn't feel it didn't mean it wasn't there.
So nice. And especially when you talk about your mom, like I wonder, like how did your change, you're becoming to that person you are today, affected or affects today the relationship to your mom? How did it change her that you are going to be different?
You know, I studied personal training years ago. And when you do training, like personal training, you learn about nutrition and you go around telling the world, you need to do this and you need to do this, you need to eat this and train this day and do exercise, and you go around trying to tell everyone what to do. And most families, they just think you're crazy and just like, yeah, whatever, leave him to be. So over the years, I've been doing lots of different trainings and lots of different changing. And over the years, I've stopped telling people what to do. I've stopped advising people, even with my dad's passing. My dad had cancer and he's in palliative care at home for a year. I stopped telling him what to do. I stopped talking about what I think was best. And I just kept turning up as love, turning up as the medicine, turning up as peace, love, joy. And then things started to organically change. My dad said to me a couple of months before he's passed over, he says, Matzer, thanks so much for doing the work that you've done over the years and the transformation that you've done. He said, it's helped us heal. It's helped me and it's helped your ma. I was like, Dad, that's really cool. And I love that you say that. And I helped him transition and leave his physical body. And the same with me ma. I don't tell her what to do. I don't tell her what the best thing to do. I ask her. I ask for invites if she wants me to help her. And I do what love wants me to do. I do what peace wants me to do. And my relationship with my ma now, Fabian, is the gift that keeps on giving. When I walked into a counseling session in 2010, I said, I just want peace and I want to love me ma. Now I love me ma. We have helped each other through the past of my dad. Our relationship is beautiful. We're going on a holiday to Lanzarote next year in March. We hang out. She came to a satsang with me last week. She comes to yoga classes and breathwork classes. We have conversations about Jesus and religion and the Bible. And in comparison to years ago, I took up being an atheist just so I could argue with my ma, something to fight with her about, something to claim her on, telling her she's wrong and Jesus is not real. But it was all an opportunity for me to project my bullshit onto her. Now that's dissolved and I have done the internal work on myself a lot. Still lots to do, I'm sure. But now I have a lot of peace around my man, love around my man. I don't see her as my ma. She's just this lovely, kind, gentle lady that I get to do a journey with, and we get to exchange love and kindness. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And if people want to know the fruits of your labor or the success of your work, how was your relationship with your mother? How was your relationship with your daughters? How was your relationship with your...
Oh, yeah.
And mine is good.
Yes. I always say the same, like, if you really want to see how far you came with your development and your growth, look at your relationships, especially with your parents. I think that's one of the most difficult one. And especially when you go for that, I don't mean that anybody has to, sometimes you don't have the opportunity to have a great relationship, maybe because your parents are already dead. Or something else happens, or sometimes it's not the relationship is not, it's not, maybe they're not open for this to really come. But in 9 out of 10 ways, I see it by myself. I see it with so many people I worked with. I see it always when the children open up and do the change and present themselves in a way that it's like above everything they known, like they really evolve and they come to the parents with love and an open heart and the willingness to hold space for them and to really be there. There's like 9 out of 10, I would say the system changes. And some, I know, I just talked to a client in the last weeks and they told me a story I would have never believed if you told me that my mom could show up like this. And like, yeah, because you showed up differently. And I see it always, like, I remember when I started the work doing for myself. And I mean, I had some like difficult times with my mom, but also very beautiful times. I would say I had a beautiful childhood, like in comparison to other people. When I hear stories, I was in Disneyland, right? So, and but still, there were some struggles and some like things we had to overcome. But the moment I really changed, I evolved myself, and I really was into healing the relationship on a different level, or to bring it to another level. My mom and like the relationship with my mom and my dad now, it's so different. And she said to me once, like, I'm so glad that you went on this path, like that you started the work and you start healing this whole thing, what is going on. And I think it's always like the children. I think the children are, they showing us and they are walking, they bring all the things to the surface, what has to be healed and to overcome. And that it's so valuable that you as the son are doing the work. And it doesn't matter, like she's 74, like you said, and you can always make a difference. Always.
And I you remember when we were in Germany and you were telling me about the relationship with your mom, and when you, I think the story you may have told me, it was like that you quit school and then your mom went into you and says, yeah, like your mom is a very strong character, but then also very loving, that she loved you enough to say that to you. You know, so it's a beautiful relationship that you guys have. And isn't it brilliant that we recognize that the children can teach us, because society will lead you to believe that we're the adults and we teach the kids and we know everything. But really, children are great teachers. They come along to show us that the stuff that needs to be undone from lineage, from generational stuff, that we and you and I get to change it, like your mom got to change some stuff from her generation. And no judgment. It's just passed on. This way of working doesn't really operate. So this kid, Fabian, you know, let's do things a little bit different. And you're like, okay, Ma, you need to do this a little bit different. This is what we're going to, and then we pass it on and pass it on. And it's cool, because when we let go of the judgment, as I said to me, Ma, I don't judge you for anything that happened. Like, I don't judge my nanny or my granddad or people come by. But we have to put our hands up and say, some of this stuff isn't actually working. This way of parenting is not really working. So let's try something different. What will we do? We'll do the absolute opposite to what we did before. like, let's go a whole different direction. Everybody is moving left. We'll just go right and see what happens. And I did that with my dad's funeral, with my dad's passing. This is what Irish people do. This is what men do. This is what I'm going to do it different. Like, people are saying, oh, the death of your dad's the worst thing ever, it was really bad. And I'm going, but was it? It really required me to double down on my dedication to love, to double down on my commitment to loving my ma, loving myself. The day after my dad passed, I went and got a Thai massage. I went for a lovely massage, a long walk. I done something nice for this body. I didn't go drinking. I didn't try numb anything. And there was lots of things that my dad's passing allowed me to really commit to love. And where my ma was going, this feels good. Like, she's a year after or whatever, and she's living a good life. She's having a good time by doing something different. What did we do? We leaned into love. What would love do? What would peace do? Let's do that. But fear would say, no, don't do that. That's crazy. You got to be angry. You got to cry. Yeah, I cried. I let it out. But I still leaned into the sharp edges of love. So then me and my ma, we done something really different. Then we have this beautiful relationship, like what you have with your mom and your dad, and the stuff you do with the bike, repairing the bike, and your ma's involved. And when we let go of the fear and the judgment, all that, then we get your ma to spray the bike and sand the bike and your dad apart. And it's all just an expression of love. It's fucking cool, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I love the story of your dad's funeral, especially in those situations. Like, everybody has an opinion. And I remember the phrase from Tim Mitchin, like, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, right? And the thing is, really, especially in society, everybody knows what is right for you and what you should doing and what you should not be doing and how you should behave and all this stuff. But the thing is, like, the most people are in the system, like, trying not to break out, and everybody wants to be different, but on the same page, don't want to be abandoned from the environment or from the community. And I see, like, I mean, to be honest, it's not always that easy. I mean, we talked about stuff like giving appreciation, and like, it's giving and it's given and it's received. And sometimes it can be really difficult, to be honest, and to be really talking or speaking the truth. Like, I mean, what situation? I mean, for sure, there have been situations where you look back, you say, like, okay, there was not an easy, effortless flow. But I think, and that's the thing for me, like, it's still in my feeling, when I tell the truth, it's there is always effortless inside of me, but not always outside. So have you had situations where you, like, really were confronted to telling the truth, where it was not really well received, or maybe you know that it can be lead to a difficult situation?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, like, does you know, I would have lived the life of difficulty over the years, you know, a lot of anxiety, a lot of pain, a lot of difficulties inside of my system, and I would have hid that really well. So in order to hide something really well, I would have told a lot of lies. I wouldn't have been honest about my feelings. I wouldn't have been honest about my behaviors, my things that I would got up to, the misconducts I would have got. So I spent a lot of time telling lies. And over the years, I started to change all that and start to tell the truth. And that became really difficult for people to hear, you know, saying no to the things that most people want to do, saying no to the internal lies that was going off in my body. And then I found that it was very challenging for people. Really challenging for people when you say no to the things, when you say no to drinking and going out, saying no to certain conversations, saying no to gossip, saying no to telling lies. Like you'd be sitting with people and they'd be talking about somebody and I would say, I don't agree with that. Can I help you? Can I explain what I see here? And you'd get back, oh, for fuck's sake, you can't even have a conversation with you anymore. You're getting super serious. You're getting too deep. And I'm going, but things aren't always surface level. You're judging that person for doing this, this, and that. Let me explain what might be going on for them. And people don't want to hear that. They just want to gossip. They want to explain. And I don't mean everybody. I'm just talking about this little circle. I'm not judging everyone or putting everyone in the same bracket. But the people that I was sitting and speaking with, they just want the gossip. They want to talk about pain. They want to engage in the addiction to their own bullshit and the hormones of stress. And when you say, I don't agree with that, that's not true. You know, that person may be having a difficulty in their system, and us judging them is not going to be helpful, you know. And that created a lot of separation in friendships, in life for me. My circle has changed, you know, and now, when I change that circle, it brings me to the like of you, Fabian, which is a truth seeker, a truth speaker, is honest. You know, we don't gossip. Me and my girlfriend, Brona, we don't gossip. We don't talk about anybody. We talk about, like, how can we create in the world? What's beautiful to do? What's fun? What's happy? What challenges are you overcoming? It all has the same frequency. All has the same sound. It's light. It's love. But it's not a spiritual bypass of bullshit. And that requires honesty and saying the thing that you don't want to do anymore. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to drink. I don't want to take drugs. I don't want to sleep around. I don't want to lie. Does that make sense?
That makes totally sense. I mean, like you said, sometimes it can challenge the people when you are that honest. Not even that you confront them to, like, hey, you are doing that. I mean, that's also judgmental, right? I mean, so even if it's the truth, but it's still judging if you confront Perfect. People. And I know I used to do that a lot in my past. I know I was the guy, like, finding a new diet and turning vegan, and then I was like the vegan terrorist, like everybody, like, you are a bad person that you are eating meat, right? And I was judging my dad, I was judging my mom. I was like horrible. I was really, I thought
bullshit on people.
Yes, and I thought, like, I'm right. Like I thought, like, I'm the good one, right? And it was just like judgmental.
Wolf, and I didn't realize.
Yes, and really the challenge is sometimes even you don't have to be that, like, judgmental, but still if you just say, like, no, I don't agree, it can challenge people a lot. It's confronting them with themselves. Like, I remember also, I mean, I was also used to do a lot of drinking and drugs and partying, and I was always, like, very straight. When I made a decision, I stick with it. Like, I really go for that. And not always in a confronting way. I was not always like the vegan terrorist that everybody's telling is a bad person because they're eating meat. But sometimes it was like, no, I'm done with that. And I remember that people are really annoyed, like, or starting to make fun of you and telling that you're boring and stupid and why are you drinking? And it's like, if you see it from the outside perspective, it's very interesting because it's just like, it's so weird. When I see it right now, I see, like, it's so normal that you be due to numb yourself with stuff and all this, like, that the people tell you are the weirdo if you don't do it. And on the other hand, it's really like, it's just the way I want to live. I'm same. Like I made a decision that I don't want to waste my time, my life, my energy on the next day when I had a bad day of drinking. And the next day I was like, I don't feel like it. I want to do something. Like, I want to go out in the world. I want to go do sports. I want to meet people. I want to have conversations. And it's not like, don't want to drown my energy for this kind of stuff. It's not worth it for me anymore.
Yeah.
But especially if you make a decision, you always give the people the mirror for themselves. Like, if I say I stop drinking, I'm stop doing partying, I'm stop like all this stuff, the people are confronted with themselves to say like, oh, maybe I should do that too. He knows, or she's going on the right path. I know what would be good for me as well. And now I'm confronted with myself to say like, yeah, you're right. Probably I should drink a little bit less too. Or maybe I feel a little bit longer that I should stop, but I couldn't. And now you do it. And now I'm confronted with myself. And so the honesty, it's challenging for people to really telling the truth. It's bringing down to the very core of yourself. And I think that's so the important part, to really see that it's, for me, there's no other way. I just, like you said, I don't want to live on lies. I don't want to tell people like yes and feel no or all the other stuff. Like, I don't want to do that. I have to be willing to be confronted and to be judged from other people for my truth.
It's so important. There's a term I heard recently to explain this, what you and I do. It's called kenosis. It's an emptying of self. It's getting rid of all of those them voices. So let me just share a story, which these group of friends that I know, you know, they would have known me from the past, the stuff that I did. You know, I'd had a lot of voices in my life, the drink, the drugs, crime, masturbation, pornography, misconduct, sleeping around, lots of sexual partners, right? So it was just, my life was full of vice and defilement. So over the years, I've done this kenosis. I've been getting rid of all this stuff, and I've been bringing it down, boiling it down. You know, I stopped all the sexual misconduct, the porn, the masturbation, and then people sending me WhatsApps message. This is probably very important for men. Not all men, just maybe some men out there or women. And to be WhatsApp messages with these kind of, these inappropriate messages, right? And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't want this on my phone. I don't look at porn. I don't want any of this on my phone. So I felt a challenge in myself to say the truth to this person. Stop sending me that stuff. I wanted to tell the truth, and it was met with resistance. What? It's just a video. It's just a joke. It's just messing. And I'm like, I don't want that. I don't like that. That doesn't feel good for me inside. Please don't send that. That was hard to say, but I had to tell the truth. So I was like, right, I freed myself. I got rid of another voice. Then we met in person, and they were like, do you have a girlfriend? And the honest, do you sleep around or do you cheat? And I was like, no, I would never do that. And they're like, what? I'm like, no, I would never do that, because that was a common conversation. I'm like, no way, I would never do that. So all of these things, I was cleaning up, that it wasn't even appropriate for us to speak in a social situation about those things. I don't even want to have those conversations. So it got a little bit deeper then. In a couple of years later, we met again. He's saying to me, there is like, now do you even look at other women? So I've got rid of all the other behaviors, the misconducts. Now it's like, do you look at even women? Or do you just boil your kettle outside and have your tea at home, whatever? I was like, no, can I help you with that? And he didn't want to know, because that would mean that I'm confronting a truth in him, that he has a girlfriend or he has a partner, but yet he's looking elsewhere. And I'm not saying that's wrong or bad, but for me, that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. I have a beautiful girlfriend. I have a beautiful life. But when I think about what feels good for me and why I do what I do, looking around at other women and making it sexual, I'm feeding a voice. I'm feeding a need inside of me for extra pleasure. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. It's vying for my attention and it'll go nowhere. It's like having a nothing burger. I'm not going to do that. So I take my attention off because that's just an addiction I used to have, about look at people in a sexual way, look at movies or pictures. Now I take my attention off that. I train my body that I don't need that drink. I don't need that drug. I don't need that pleasure. I'll be looking at this pretty girl in an hour figure. I bring it back in because it feels good. I bring my attention back in so I can concentrate on love, joy, happiness, abundance, because that just feels good for me. Because all those things are just voices vying for my attention to feed an unconscious addiction. But my friends and these people that I hung around with, they might not want to hear that because it's something that they probably don't want to look at because they're just unconscious to these addictions in their own systems. And that can be a challenging thing. But I'm only interested in truth. I'm only interested in being honest, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy and a strong decision to be that clear, like you said. And I know that because I did it a lot of times in my life where I was like, I would say very strong or direct, honest to myself. And I think that's the most important point if you want to change. Because if you're not on, if you're lying to yourself, it's not even lying to other people. If you're lying to yourself, it's hard to change. And if you're really honest, you say like, okay, what I am doing, what I am believing, how I'm behaving, like how I'm feeling or thinking about that, then you can really go down to the things you want to look at. But I mean, to be honest to yourself, I think this is the hardest part, right? And I would I'm very interested, like, how did the relationship change to yourself in being honest, and what it's like, what did it change, what it opened up for you in your life to really cultivate that? Because I know you do it, you're really honest to yourself, but was it difficult in the beginning? How did it start?
It creates a lot of freedom, like when you're partaking and using these ways of living, they require a lot of energy because you're trying to hold up a facade, you're trying to hold up a front that's not really true, and you're trying to keep it all together. But when you put your hands up and say, do you know what, I don't want to do that, I don't do that thing anymore, I don't want to speak that way, I don't want to look at them things, it's challenging at first because it's unfamiliar, it's new, but then you get a lot of energy back because you're not spending all your energy sending it out horizontally in survival, in pain and hurt. And so when you bring it back in and you're activating the parasympathetic nervous system, as we know as breath facilitators, so you get a lot of ease and peace because you're not telling any lies, you're not doing things that you don't want to do. Your body knows that it doesn't want to do that. But yeah, you'll keep doing it. But when you bring it back and you stop doing it anymore, does it like it? And then you're leaving a lot more space in your life for the creativity, for the fun, the love, the meditations that you and I do, the work, the presentations, the service of the world. You stop being super selfish, all about your pain, your addictions. And then you've got a lot more energy for your family, for your friends, for the people that you're working with, the people that use your services. It's just, it's an amazing return on investment. That old way, the return on investment, it's just bad business. What you put in for what you get back is nil pois. This work that you and I do, me noticing what kind things you do and how much of a lovely friend you are, and I let you know this, and the love that you give me back, it's just beautiful. It feels great. That other way, let's be honest, it doesn't fucking feel that good. We've been doing it and it feels shit, right? I had this client, this lad that I work with, and he was like, I was out partying the weekend. You know, a party. And I was like, will you come on? Like, let's stop with this, lies. Is it actually a party? And he's like, what do you mean? I says, are you actually sitting there having a good time, blowing up balloons, going, yay? Or are you in the corner, fucking miserable, waiting for the next drug to come along, the like, drink to come along? And he's like, yeah. And I said, what do you call a partying for? Because you're in fucking bits. You're not having a good time. You're just looking for the next fix. And he goes, it's not really partying. No, it's not really partying. Let's not call a spade a shovel when it's not that. Do you know what I mean? So that way, it was never fun. It's always more pain, more hurt, more struggle. So let's stop telling those lies. Let's take it back, bring it back. Because what we really want is peace, love, joy. Let's feel good. And that's what I like to do, you know?
I mean, what you just talked about with this client, it's very interesting because, I mean, he was obviously, and I know it for myself, I remember when I was still like, hey, we are going to have a lot of fun this weekend. I mean, and we had on the surface level also fun. It's not like that we just were sitting there and numbing ourselves, but on a deeper level, I knew I'm not good to myself. I'm not doing good things to myself. So, but what do you think it requires to really see that differently?
I think change either comes from creation or it comes from crisis, you know, and a lot of change happens on either side. But for people like that, it's usually that a pain will come along, a difficulty will come along, because you know yourself, you have a few drinks on a Friday night, you wake up the next day and you're sore and you're not feeling good. And if you do that for a couple of days, you do that for a couple of years, the pain becomes really unbearable. And you're like, I need to stop this. You know, like it becomes a point where you're like, I really need to stop this. And then it's when you stop the drink and you stop the drugs and you stop the smoke and then you stop the sexual behaviors, it reveals what was really underneath that was driving you to those behaviors in the first place. The fear, the not good enough, the not enough, the social anxiety, all this stuff that you were trying to hide. And then you're like, oh, fuck. And then it comes to a point like, I think I might go back to the drink. I think I might go back to the drugs. And that can become a choice. But when we take away those crutches and we take away those covers, it reveals the reason why you drank in the first place. We get to causation. We get to the real root, the source of what was driving it. You know, you hit the shepherd and the sheep disappear. So if we can get to the root cause of why you really drank in the first place, why you really done those behaviors, then you can look at that. So then you don't have to drink and you don't have to take drugs. And people say to me all the time, Fabian, why do you not drink? Why do you not take drugs? And I'm like, because it's just not fun. I don't like to do it. And I don't need to do it anymore. People are like, do you go to AA? Do you go? I'm like, no, I just have a good time. And I know if I drink and I took those things or if I slept around, I wouldn't feel good. I love my body too much. I love my life too much. And I never said those words. I never realized that there was a lack of not feeling like I love myself as a kid and as an adult. Now I do. And I'm like, why would I take that drink? Why would I take that drug? Why would I sleep around? I don't need that to feel good anymore.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful. Like if you really love yourself, how would you act? If you really love your body, what would you do? What choice would you make? If you really love you, and I always see like, it's so great that you bring this up, because I see so many like, or I've seen in the past, like people in relationships and they struggle. Like they are, I sometimes ask like myself, like, why are they in this relationship? And I can ask myself why I was in certain relationships. So, and the thing is always, I say, like, I never had the problem of leaving. I was very good in like when I struggled or something, things went wrong, like I left. There was another problem I had to overcome, but I've never stuck in a long-term relationship and suffered. So, but I've seen people that they are in relationships and they are not feeling good and they know it. And I always say like, if they would love themselves a little bit more or enough, they would leave the relationship. Because nobody would tolerate this situation for themselves if they really love themselves.
Yeah,
if they say like, I love myself more than this. I love myself more than the surface level safety I think I have, or the things I'm not tolerating that anymore.
And it's helping people to wake up, Fabian, helping them to wake up to that they recognize that they don't love themselves. Like that even probably is an alien concept to people, that they don't love themselves. I'm doing this and I'm in this relationship and this is not a way of loving myself. That would be alien to people, that, what do you mean I don't love myself? Well, if you let that person speak to you like that, if you acted that way, if you took that drink and you took that drug, that doesn't sound like you love yourself. But they may not have been in an environment or been exposed in an environment growing up that demonstrated or modeled to them what loving themselves looks like, what loving themselves sounds like, acts like. They're like, well, that's just what everyone did when I grew up. Yeah, but doesn't mean that's the way. They probably didn't know that this was not a self of act love. So when you stop doing that, that is an act of self-love. And it's teaching people how to do that, but how to recognize that. Like, you know, if you loved yourself enough, you wouldn't take that drink, you wouldn't take that drug, you wouldn't do that or be in that relationship. But it's teaching people what love is. What does love look like? What does loving your body look like? How would loving your body sound? What are the things that you do that would show your body to love? That's a training for people that they have to learn. And like, that will come from pain, that it might be a great teacher.
Yes. And it's, especially for men, I think it's a tough one to really get to that point, to really say, like, to love yourself. I think it's so uncommon. And I just remember when we were visiting you and Brana, your girlfriend, like in Rahel, my girlfriend in Ireland, and we had this conversation about in relationships where, like, when, how can I say that? I remember Rahel and I did a exercise or something, like a thing, and it's about write down stuff, what you know would make the other person joyful.
Yeah.
And so I had to write down three things for myself, what makes me joyful. And what can I do for her to make her joyful? So,
love,
and then
this
we were
exercise.
sitting down writing, and I was so easy to write down. She likes that, and she likes, oh, I can do this. Then she's happy, and da da da. Nah. And then we were both sitting there. I had to write for myself, and she had to write for me. And we were both sitting there, like, what should I even write down? I don't know. And she was a little bit embarrassed because she's like, maybe. Oh, that's a weird situation. Maybe I'm not that a good girlfriend or stuff like this. And then she was looking at me. I was struggling for myself to write down what makes pleasure to myself. And so she was a little bit relaxed, like, oh, yeah. And then when we were in Ireland and talking about this, I remembered, like, the same thing happened. So it's sometimes for men, it's not easy. We are not trained for what makes you pleasure, what is like, what makes you joyful, what's open your heart, what gives you joy. It's not really, we're not trained for this, not from society. And I mean, I really grew up in a really good environment, but still there, I thought to myself, where did I pick this up? And I saw that it's a lot from the society, the environment around us, not especially our parents, like the whole system. And it's forcing you to really, be strong and to not show any feelings, and to you don't have to, you don't need anything. You can give, you can provide, you can help other people, but to really give it to yourself, it was a tough one, and still sometimes is, to really develop, like to discover my own needs in a way. I would love to have it like my girlfriend, like to really see how she is appreciating small things, like. And I see, like, yes, that's I want to know. But, and it's so weird that we don't have it. But I think it should be so natural, right?
Yeah. excuse me. Yeah, I understand that. But then we also have to understand that men and women are neurologically, biochemically, endocrinologically wired differently to us. You know, in the midst of trauma or difficulty, women behave and act in a different way. When women go through challenges in life, they tend and befriend and they create circles and groups and work together in team. When men go through challenging adverse events, they divide individually. They might be in an army, but they'll divide the individual. Everyone just goes to war in themselves on their own. We separate and divide, and it's quite different. It's ingrained into our DNA and our neurology. So that stuff that we're talking about, we're just wired really different, and we have to. It's very functional. You and I are very functional. We want this, and this because it'd be good for that, and that. Women just love nice things to do, hair, makeup, books, reading, flowers, chocolate, walk, exercise. It's all lovely. You and I, what do we need and what would it be good for?
That's true. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. And again, it's a great question to see, this is how men operate. This is the way we're wired for it. Can we do something different? Okay, what would I like? What would make me feel happy? What would be joyful? Like I said, I went for that massage after my dad's funeral. That was, that was counterintuitive, you know, to what my system, what my body, what my environment would have taught me. But I was practicing against all my cells saying, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't be doing that today. Stay at home, cry a little. I went and got this beautiful massage by this guy, Tubo. He's a Chinese masseuse in an amazing place to go to. And that was not something that my body would have been used to. But that question that you and Rahel proposed to me was brilliant, and it's brilliant to other men. What is it that you'd love to do? Like now, since then, I'm into flowers. I love flowers. I love plants. People are always buying me plants. I'm like Alan Titchmarsh on the BBC. I have plants everywhere here. That's something that I love, and that helped that question. What are the other things? Because I would have just said functional stuff. Well, I like going training. Most men say, well, I love sex. Give me sexual pleasure or whatever. Now my consciousness has expanded to think and talk about things that I like and that I enjoy outside the norm. Football, the gym, protein bars. functional stuff. Now, like, what are the nice things?
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, I knew a lot of things than how I can make myself happy. I know a lot of stuff I can do, like sports, go in nature, do some like challenges. I don't know. There's a lot of things I can explain directly. But the difference is, how can you allow to receive from other persons? And that's, I think, a big one for men. And also like to really be open to receive. And what is the really thing about receiving, right? I mean, when I give a gift to Rahel or to somebody else and they enjoy and receiving it, I like doing it. So the thing is, if I don't like receiving or I'm not joyful, why should the people give it to me? So I have to really learn to be in, like, to appreciate more, to be more joyful or to enjoy things more in my daily life. It's not about like the vacation and the big, I don't know, hike on the big mountain and stuff like this. It's more like the things in my daily life. How can I appreciate that more? And I'll be honest, I like, for me, it's really like my growth is there, like to really see all the beauty more, to see all that. I mean, you can just bring me here outside of my home and I see the mountains and the lake. My heart is wide open normally, like it's like like this big. But it's still something, it's not an interaction between two persons. So I know how it, and I love that you said that it changed for you, especially after we had this conversation, because I think that's it makes the relationship so much better if it's like a way of giving and receiving on both sides.
Do you know what I noticed, and this might be important to, and again, I'm speaking to men because I'm a man, but it's not just men, women as well. What I noticed, and specifically in this relationship that I'm in with Brona, Brona is very loving and very caring, right? And she's like, I'm not calling her a dog, but she's like a little golden Labrador puppy. She's just so playful and so loving and, you know, right? So that's where she is. And she's the beautifulest, kindest being ever, right? When this map body, when this map system goes through, say, some difficulty, like yesterday, I was thinking about something and my body was trying to bring me on a different ride. And I felt like I was having some difficulties inside of myself. The Brona personality, that loving, kind person, wants to come and give me some love. I found in our early days in that relationship, that was difficult for me for receiving that love. I'm good for giving love. I'm good for minding. I'm good for protecting. I'm like, this being wants to give me love and I'm struggling. There was an innate thing inside of me is to push her away. No, get away from me. Leave me alone. I'll do it on my own. So I had to really practice allowing her to come in, allowing her to hold me, allowing her to let me to cry, to be vulnerable. Like that was a big lesson in receiving. I'm a man. I'm going to protect my daughters. I'm going to mind my family. But what are you like when you're feeling vulnerable? Are you going to let this kind, gentle, loving person come and mind you and hold you? That was a challenge that I had to go against every cell in my body that wants to push her away, hide in me back cave somewhere till I'm ready to see the world. I'm like, no. I'm going to lean into this.
That's so interesting. Like, it's an environment where like it's safe. She's your girlfriend, and still there are some defense mechanisms sometimes that they say like, no, that's not good that it happens. And so what do you think, what did you had to let go in order to be more open to receive?
What did I have to? I had to absolutely not listen to the lies and the bullshit that this body mind wants to tell me. It will say, push her away. Don't do that. I literally had to go against every cell in my body to go, no. And I'm holding her and my mind is going, you don't even want to do this. This is bullshit. Let go. Run away. Hide. All the siren songs of separation, division, fear. I'm like, no. And I'd stay. And I'm like, I ain't moving till you shut up. I'd be saying to my mind, I'm not moving till you shut up. And I had to let that go. I just held. And then it quieted, and then I'd soften, and then I go, it's gone, and I'd be holding her, and then I go, here, you've held for long enough, now it's time to get back to your back cave, put your earphones on, lock the world out, and that became a training exercise. Now, I lean in, like I was talking to you before the call, I got a lovely email, I had some tears, I ran up, and I sat with Brona, and we talked about it, and I cried, and I held her. That's a training exercise because all of my life I've been pushing people away. I've been running away. Now I'm learning to trust and be vulnerable because I'm safe. I feel safe. I feel safe in this relationship with you, Fabian. I feel safe in my relationship with Brona and allows me to do that work.
Wow. That's like, I think that's the gateway to really, like you said, to feel safe. And to really feel that nothing has happened. I think it's sometimes so weird. It's really like you sit down and there's all this, like the voices and the feelings like, no, don't do that. And it's just a lack of safety. If I would say, I was like, I feel totally safe in my body, in the situation, and I can totally relax. I think every person, it doesn't matter if it's man or women, they will open up. They will open up and we be open to whatever there is. But it's our ego, it's our like voices, our old identities, what's keeping me back. And I really love like our relationship, what do you and I have, because it's so like there's a lot of safety, like you said, and we can share and we can share everything. And I would love to have everybody on this world to have relationships like this, because really it's such a gift to my life to have these conversations and to really, I mean, since then we see each other like almost every week. We have a nice time. We chat. We talk. We do breathwork together. We share some, I don't know. We mirror each other to help us grow. And I would love like this friendship, this relationship. I would love to have everybody on this planet relationships like this.
Why do you do it? What's in it for you? What's your why? Well, like, you know, we spoke about this. This is the work we do. It's lovely. It's in, but why? What's your why? What motivates you to do that?
I would say when I look back, my biggest goal was always to be free. I remember when I was, I would say pretending that my life is pretty good. I mean, it was good. I had a good job, good friends. I had money to do what I want. And some stuff were lacking. There was like the relationship was not good. So I have to be really honest. And I felt like I'm not free, especially also when you do drinking and drugs. And like I had a lot of addictions. I had a lot of addictions, like to almost everything, playing, like gambling. I had drugs, alcohol, sex, a lot of things. So, and for me, I realized I want to be free. I want to be free from, I don't want to be controlled by all this stuff. I want to do what I want. And on this whole path, I really worked on myself, on my strength, on my openness to really let go of all of this. And for me, the freedom to express what is inside of me, to really say what I want to say, not in a judgmental way, just because it is like it is. And to the feeling it gives me is so good. I mean, always when we chat, when we have a conversation and we meet on Zoom and I go out there and my heart is like, I feel amazing. I feel so open because we invest in this relationship and really strengthen it. And it makes me feel good. And that's why I always looking for, and I know the way to do it is to be more honest, to be more open, to be more loving, to be more like whatever that means. But I think for me, that's the most important way of living. It feels so good.
Brilliant. And this is what's really important for people to understand, right? So me and you sit together, we have a conversation, and you're very in tune with elevated emotions. I feel good when I do this. Why? Because I'm honest, I'm transparent, I'm clear, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I feel safe to do that. Then we bring it into other relationships. We bring it into our work, we bring it into our family. That's us being the medicine, right? I love feeling happy. I feel joyful. I'm not hiding anything. I'm able to be honest with Matt. He's honest with me. Right. Can I bring that into other parts of my relationship? And then we walk as that solution. But as you said, you have been to the other side. You know what it's like not to feel good. And it's do you want this or do you want that? And then it becomes a decision. It's either love or fear, or peace or chaos. And you live that life. Only if you want it. I heard a great saying recently, The only one that wants change is a wet baby. So you either want to change or you don't want to change. And as you said, you have to be honest with yourself. And say, like, I've been telling myself lies for years. I say I want peace in my relationship, but every time my partner moves me drink, I'm like, what do you move me drink for? I'm like, but you said you wanted peace. Now you're giving up about a drink. Yeah, but if she didn't touch me, well, then you're not really interested in peace. You're interested in being right. You're full of shit. Yes. Like, stop being full of shit. Like, my I can tell this story. My little brother rang me a couple of months ago to help him with some stuff going on for him. And I gave him some meditations. And he texts me, Matt, the meditations are going great. I'm just having a difficulty. And I say, what's the difficulty? He goes, well, when my wife says this and my boss says that, and I say, yeah, no problem. Inside, I'm really angry. Inside, I'm really peaceful. And I say, okay, do the meditations. This now is your walk and meditation. When that stuff comes up and those stories go off in your head, you go to work with that. You tell that to quieten down. You create the silence. Yeah, but I feel really weak and I feel like I'm getting pushed around. I say, okay, then it sounds like to me that you're more interested in being right and righteous than you are about peace. And you think the answer is with your boss and your wife. If you have peace inside of you and you have calm inside of you, then that's what you bring. I'm not going to give you a job helping the Ukraine or Palestine if you're a lunatic and all you want to do is to be right and fight with the world. And he was like, oh, fuck. And I says, that's where this work. It's an internal job. So you be the medicine that you want to see in your wife and your kids. Yeah, it's interesting, right?
It's like, yeah, there's just one phrase that comes to my mind. It's like, and I sometimes say that to people because I know it from myself. And it's so good to say, like, you want to be right or you want to be free? You choose.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like this. You can be, you can judge, you can compete, you can talk against and all this stuff. But is this making you free or not? And that's a decision everybody has to make. If you still want to be in the old version, okay, then go for it. But that, don't tell me why your life isn't changing or why anything isn't good in your life. But yeah. If you make the decision for love, for freedom, and then you have to be honest to really say, like, okay, yeah, I want this. Okay, then I have to let that down. And it's like great what you told about your brother, that he's open for that and really into the zone of change, because I know it's hard sometimes. It's not so easy sometimes. I mean, it takes a lot of energy to really see yourself and to confront yourself with that honesty to say, like, what am I doing here? And then make a change.
But I say this to him, but what I'm not saying is I had to say this to myself hundreds of times. In 2022, I had to say to a counselor, one of the longest relationships I've ever had, I was going to therapy for 10 years and I was doing holotropic breath work. I was doing these modalities and I had to say to these people, this is not working. This way that I'm living, although I'm doing the counseling, I'm doing the holotropic, I'm writing the books and I'm doing all these things, I'm still behaving like an absolute asshole. Like, I'm not living the life. Like, this is not working. The therapy, I feel shit inside. And I had to say, right, I have to do a wholesale change. Everything has to change. What are you going to focus on? Love. What would love do? What would love say? What would peace say? What would peace do? And that's all I focus on. I'm not going to do that all way, because I had to rip up all the books. I had to rip up all the script and do it totally different. And now, honestly, Fabian, my stress levels, my peace, my life is totally different. It's incredibly beautiful right now.
That's great.
Because I had to be honest. You know, I was doing this therapy, I was doing all this work, and I couldn't hold down an intimate relationship with someone without having relationship anxiety, paranoia about what they're doing. That does not creep into my brain when I'm with Brona, around Brona, with my family. That's gone. That's like, it's on the train to nowhere, you know? But I'm doing okay. So that required me being honest and open about my behavior and the things I'm doing wasn't working for me.
Great. It's like, but like you said, it's a training. It not comes like in an instant. Yeah. I mean, you can make the decision, but it's still, you have to put in the work. And I know you put in a lot of work for that. And I'm very impressed and like want to honor that, because for me, it's extraordinary. It's like not common that people are so committed, but I love to speak with people like you, to connect with people like you, because I know that's the people in my life I want to be around with, because I know they're putting in the work and they see the same future and the same way of living as I do. And that's like, I know it, that we need more of that.
How do we help people with that? So say somebody's on a journey and they've become aware that they're having difficulties, likewise. How would you say that the best place to start with this is what?
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, for me, like you said earlier in our conversation, there's always a moment of, otherwise, like, you want something really badly, like, okay, I want to change, or I confronted with something what is not happening or not working out, or I'm frustrated, or life just throw balls at me, like, say, like, okay, just look at this, you know? So I think that's a pivotal moment for the most of the people. It was for me in my life many, many times. And I think that's like, you have to have the, we just talked about this last week. You have to have this willingness, because I ask you, like, how do you bring up the awareness to change? And you say, like, because I want to. And I think if there is no want to, you're not going to do anything. It's like some people say they want to change, but they actually don't want to change. It's like a nice idea of, yeah, I want my life to be different, but if you are you willing to do what it takes to do it? And I know, I always say, like, I believe that everybody has the ability to change. I know it, but maybe not everybody is ready to put in the effort and the energy to do it. But I wish that more people do it. So, and if this, like, for me, that's the starting point. If you're not on this point, and I really saw that in the last years working with so many people and clients, it can seem, sometimes it can be on the surface, it can seem to be like that the person want to, but if you look really down, it's just like they're not really want to. And that's difficult to work with people like this. So in the first place, you have to have the willingness to do it. And it doesn't matter if you're in a bad situation. I've seen people in situations like they were really on the wall, like with the bag on the wall in the corner. But they were ready to say, like, I know I want out of this and I have to go. And sometimes this is like a perfect point of changing your life. But on the other hand, and that's like the next step, I would say, is like really cultivate honesty. I would say I remember a story of maybe it was a testimony of Joe Dispenza, and he talked about a person, like a man who really was confronted with life, and he said, like, okay, I can't go on with this anymore. And he took a flight, he flew over to Mexico, booked himself like a cabin in the woods. And he closed himself up for 2 weeks, and he said, like, okay, I'm going to study myself. I'm going to see what is inside myself. I want to don't see anybody. I want to don't look at anybody. I want to be just by myself. I want to sit with myself, and I want to see what is going on inside of this person. And he really, he was like a scientist for himself to really figure out what is going on. And after 2 weeks, he changed his whole life. So, and I mean, that's a, like, maybe I would not say extreme version of that, but I would say you have to have the willingness to look at yourself, to really dig down and to be ready to open up and to see everything what is there. I think that's like the for me, that's the starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, What popped into my mind here, what I love, and this is not an opportunity for me to blow smoke up your hole by any chance, what I love about you and why I spend time with you, and this might be very important for people, is surround yourself with the people that do the work that you want to do. You may not probably feel at that level or whatever, but surround yourself with honest people. Surround yourself with people that are into doing the work. You embody this work. You live the life. You, as we spoke before we got on this call, you lean into the sharp edges of the challenges. You see them as opportunities to grow. You reframe things. Brown is the same. The Light Being Group, I'm the same. I surround myself with people that do similar things. This is not a spiritual bypass. This is not a socks and sandals opportunity. Like, everything is gumbaya, you know. So this is really important for people to become aware of. Who are you surrounding yourself with? What are the conversations? Are they about transformation? Are they about change? Are they about love? Are they about giving out? Are they about complaining? And as you rightly said, is, do you really want to change? Are you happy in that environment? You know, yes. This work that we do is not a spiritual bypass, because stuff is going to come along. It's going to be challenges. So said the caterpillar in the crystal when it's in a load of mush and it's time to get out of that crystal and it turns into the butterfly. He's not in there going, oh man, this is hard, this is hard. That's just the process he's in, because he wants to turn into a butterfly, or she wants to turn into a butterfly. And it's how you frame the challenges is also important. And I think it's really important what you said, Fabian. Are you willing? Do you really want it? And your actions and your behaviors and your conversations, they're all extensions of what's really going on for you. And it's telling.
Yes. Yes. And I think honesty is like the gateway to for the next step. Like when I look back, like, and I see that, I think for you, the same, for everybody, it's the same. First is the intention, the willingness to change. And then you have to be ready to really be fucking honest to yourself in every single way with everything you do. And I know that's a tough one. I know that's a hard one. And it's actually never stops, because when you evolve, there will be new challenges, new things to look at and to really see yourself. But it's a beautiful way. I love it, because it's given me so much freedom. When I see my life today and how I'm feeling and how I'm behaving in relationships, friendships, in everything, it's for me, I could never go back. And I'm so glad on the version 15 years ago, the Fabian version 15 years ago, that he had so much courage and so much like willingness to go, because otherwise maybe I wouldn't be here right now with you. And really honor that version of myself to see, like, there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of insecurity. There was a lot of ego. There was so much stuff, but he was willing to do it. And I hope, like, everybody who is listening now also to this conversation maybe gets a little bit like also encouraged to go, because I know everybody has greatness inside of themselves. Like, everybody secretly believes in their greatness also. Maybe otherwise they wouldn't be looking or listening to stuff like this, or to really engaging themselves in this kind of work. But it takes a while. Give yourself time. Give yourself a minute. And be willing to be kind to yourself. Be really, like, be kind to others. Go walk the walk, and your life will change. But maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next week. But if you go, and I see it with all the people we work with so beautifully, like, sometimes you're not seeing, maybe 1 month is like, oh God, my life is never going to be, never changing. And then now 1 year later, like, the whole, like, everything is different. And it's so beautiful to see.
It's incremental. And it's like, let's take that man that went to the cabin. What he's doing there, it's a really magnified way of knowing thyself. This work that you and I are doing, it's know thyself, become familiar with self. And if you feel like you're not feeling good and you're not feeling great, when you start to unearth and when you start to unpack all this, you start to wake up and realize, wow, I'm actually good at this. I'm really strong at this. I have the ability to do this. And then you go, what else can I find? It's like going around a warehouse with a light, with a small torch. When you knock the lights on, you're like, I'm in Aladdin's cave. Like, if you had have asked me 5 years ago, tell me five things you like about yourself or love about yourself, I would have been scratching my head going, this is bullshit. If you ask me that now, I probably wouldn't stop talking for the next 20 minutes, because I fucking love myself, right? Like, and I'm going to talk about the qualities that are important to me, what I have in the bank of love and peace and joy. But that, as you said, it takes a minute, piecemeal by piecemeal. We're not going to pull the lights off or the curtains down and let all the light in at once. Slowly, slowly, slowly to start to lift things up and go, oh, look at that, look at that. Because as you just spoke to, Fabian, we all secretly know how magnificent we are. And as Jeff Thompson once says to me, we're not afraid of failure. We're afraid of being magnificent, finding out really how powerful we are. That's a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, but as you rightly said, it takes a minute. So give yourself some time, some kudos, and just slowly, slowly creep forward. Make the changes, like weight training. It takes a minute to get 22-inch arms like you, Fabian, you know? It takes a minute. Or do 700 burpees in a half an hour.
Yeah, man, that's a great, I think that's a great, like a great ending for this. And I love our conversation. So I really thank you for that and for this honest talk and your sharings and all what you brought to this. And it's just beautiful. And I'm looking forward maybe to a next version of that. I could really see ourselves there. And but first of all, I really thank you. I really admire, admiring, appreciate your being, like your, how you show up and yeah, everything what we experience together and will in the future. So thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty and for your everything what you brought to this conversation.
Thanks, Fabian. I really appreciate it. And you've taught me so much over the years. Challenges and difficulty are universal. They're not to certain countries, but so is love. Like two men, one from Germany, living in Switzerland, the other in Dublin, Ireland, can exchange and practice being loving and kind. You know, it's a beautiful thing, and what a gift to be able to do this, that it's love is universal. It's the language of the universe, and it's the currency of the universe, love. And I get to do that with you, and I get to do that with people in this conversation. What a blessing. I'm really, really grateful to be here. Thanks, Fabian, and I love you, man. You're such a beautiful soul.
Yes, man. Thank you. I love you too. It's like beautiful. And yeah, I'm looking forward for the next conversation. So thank you and have a nice one.
Thanks.